Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you ever said when something bad's happened or you're facing a difficult situation, I have to be strong? Has anybody else ever said that to you? You know, you just have to be strong. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds very commendable. But it's actually a lie. It's actually a lie. And a lie that you believe to be true will affect you just as if it were true. A lie that you believe to be true will affect you just as if it were true. And it's a lie that you have to be strong. See, when we say I have to be, we're actually saying I have to do. And the truth is that there's nothing left for us to do, because Jesus already did it all. And now we are in Him. Our identity is now in Him. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, those who are joined to the Lord, if we could just even think and meditate on this for a few months and begin to extract even a tiny little bit of the truth out of this, it would so change your life that you wouldn't be able to recognize yourself. Those who are joined to the Lord become one spirit with Him. That's what it says. Those who are joined to the Lord become one spirit with Him. He's given us His name. That's what happens when two people get married. The wife takes the name of the husband. And He has given us His name. He has joined us together with Himself. And we have become one spirit with Him. And He's given us His name. And according to Exodus 3:14, His name is I Am. When God said to Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him to let my people go. He said, well, who will I say sent me? He said, I am that I am. You tell him, I am sent you. He's given us His name, and His name is I Am. If anyone asks you what right you have to claim that you're saved, healed, and delivered, just point them to Jesus. He's the one who gave us the right to be called a son and a child of God. He's the one who's redeemed us from the curse and released us into the blessing. In 1 John 4:17 it says, as He is, so are we in this world. He is I Am in this world. Hebrews 11:6, those who come to God must believe that He is. That He is I Am. That He is who He says He is. And that's why in Joel 3:10 it says, let the weak say, I am strong. We've sang two or three songs tonight. The last song we sang was, hallelujah, we need to launch in the word from that. Let the weak say, if I thought I had the wrong message up until then, I certainly, come on. Let the weak say, I am strong. Not let the weak say, I have to be strong. The big difference between saying I am strong and I have to be strong. We are strong because the Lord who is strong dwells in us. We are strong because we've been joined to Him and we've become one spirit with Him, and we are strong in His strength. That's why Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why the scripture says that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We are strong because of the covenant that makes the Lord's strength our strength. Who knows that, simply put, covenant means this: what's yours is mine. And what's mine is yours, not what's mine's my own. That's what covenant means. What's yours is now mine. Now, who knows we've got a far better deal than the Lord did? Come on. In fact, everything that we had, He just took it and dumped it. But now we have access to everything that's His is now ours. Paul said wrote to the Corinthian church, it's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in that part of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when he's teaching on communion, on the Lord's Supper, on the covenant meal, and celebrating the covenant. He says, many are weak and sick among you. Some have fallen asleep. Some have died because they didn't understand the power of the covenant. They didn't understand what it means to be joined to the Lord and become one spirit with Him. Where we now say, as He is, so am I in this world. I am strong. I am strong. Let's say, I am strong. See, the world religion says you have to be strong. No, I don't have to be strong. I am strong. I am strong. I am rich. John chapter 10, verse 10, the first part, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who knows, identity theft is one of the fastest growing forms of criminal activity in the world today. But it's actually nothing new in the spiritual realm. The thief has always been on the prowl, trying to steal our identity as the righteousness of God, as the saved, as the healed, and as the delivered, to plunder our heavenly account. He even tried it with Jesus, didn't he? Even tried it with him, tried to put a question against his identity. He comes to steal the word of the covenant out of our hearts. Why? So that he can then kill and destroy us. But you don't have to let him do it. You don't have to be strong. You need to stand up and say, I am strong. Sad thing is, the devil has a lot of people believing that he's the strong one. And they are the weak ones. Come on. That he's the victorious one and they are the defeated ones. They're persuaded that cancer and heart disease and debt and every other manifestation of the curse are stronger than they are. And so because of that, they're powerless against it all. Because they don't understand. And under the burden of it all, they say, oh, I have to be strong. The doctor tells them they've got cancer and they walk out thinking, I have to be strong. You don't have to be strong. You need to stand up again and say, I am strong. No one's going to steal my strength. Not cancer or anything else is going to steal my strength. Not heart disease or diabetes or anything else is going to steal my strength. I am strong because he who dwells within me is strong, because he with whom I am in covenant is strong. Hallelujah. See, the devil's a thief and he's also a liar. John 8:44, Jesus said, when the devil lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. When the devil lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. See, the reality and the truth is that he's the one who was disarmed and made a public spectacle at the cross. And at the cross, we were transformed from sinners to saints. From rebels to the righteous, from the sick to the healed, from the oppressed to the free, from the poor to the prosperous, and on and on and on and on. That's what happened to us at the cross, whereas he was made a public spectacle of. People who say, I have to be strong, are actually saying, people who say, I have to be strong, what they're really saying, they're trying to cover it up with nice religious sounding words. What they're really saying is, I have to put up with this until it finally takes me out. That's what they're saying. Who knows, with this whole identity theft business, there's people today who will sift through your bins and through your rubbish looking for documents that reveal enough information about you to steal your identity and rob you blind. In fact, there's even a van going around here now. Maybe there's a couple of them. Hebridean shredding services. That's so that you can give them all your paperwork and they'll shred it for you. Katrina came home a few weeks ago with a new shredder. Stick all your letters through the shredder, all your bank letters and all that stuff through the shredder before you put them in the bin. See, the devil uses the same tactics. He sifts through the rubbish in our past in order to try and find something he can use to steal, kill, and destroy. But who knows, God had a big shredder at the cross. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, if you turn there. Hallelujah. God invented the shredding business. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Let's try it from verse 11. In him, in Christ, you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, joined you together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out or shredded the handwriting of requirements or the certificate of debt that was against us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He shredded the certificate of debt that was against us. All of our sins that were listed on that certificate of debt, he shredded them. Hallelujah. He raised them. And then he goes on to say, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Every demon was in Jerusalem that day, you know that? He gathered from the corners of the earth. Some possessed people never felt so free that day. And they all gathered there, thinking that they had won a victory. Thinking, and it says that darkness covered the whole earth. No wonder every demonic entity was there that day, gathered together to celebrate their victory. God knew what he was doing, hallelujah. Get them all together and then rub their little noses in it. Hallelujah. Make a public spectacle of them. Hallelujah. Come on, when Jesus cried, it is finished. The veil of the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And not only was there an entrance made for the people to go in, but God to come out. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But sometimes there's some of that. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm a shaka. The veil of the temple was ripped in two. And it says in Ephesians that he made the two one, the Jews and the Gentiles. There's no longer any Jew or Gentile. Hallelujah. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Come on, there's no Jews or Gentiles anymore. God selected a people, a special people through whom he could reveal his covenant, through whom he could place a spotlight on them and say, look, this is what happens to people who are in covenant with me. This is how blessed they are. Sadly, they didn't always walk in the good of that covenant. They didn't always hold on and experience the fullness of what that covenant made available to them. And so later on, God says, we're going to have to open this up. In fact, these people that he entrusted that to, when he showed up, they didn't even recognize him. The most religious people within that system didn't even recognize God when he showed up in their midst. And so God said, I'm going to open this up to everybody. That was always his plan. We need to hear this tonight. And he says, when the veil was ripped in two, all of that stuff that said, you can't come in here unless you follow all of these different laws, and unless you've gone through all of these different processes, you've got no entrance in here. That was taken away. Hallelujah. See, he said, I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David. There was something different about the tabernacle of David from the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of David was an open house. Hallelujah. Come on, it was open house. There was praise and worship 24/7, 365. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I'm going to restore the tabernacle of Moses. No, when Jesus cried, it is finished, the tabernacle of Moses and everything that it symbolized was over. Hallelujah. See, the tabernacle of David represented a heart after God. Hallelujah. A heart after God. When you recognize all of the symbolism is over, all of the old covenant symbolism was fulfilled at the cross. And now we don't look to any of the other symbols, we look to the cross. If you want a symbol, you look to the cross. And we don't look forward to the cross, we look back to the cross. We're not waiting for our Messiah to come. Our Messiah has come. Yes, he will return, but he's only gone away because he said it's better that he went away. So that we could fulfill the job that he gave us to do. Come on, we're not waiting like the Jews for their Messiah to come, pretending he hadn't come at all the first time. We are here getting the job done, knowing that he will return when the job's done. Hallelujah. That's what this book teaches. Glory to God. It's not symbolism anymore, it's Reality Street now. Hallelujah. Come on. Let the weak say, I am strong. Most people who are over-focused on Jesus' return get very little done. Because they're always just talking about him coming back. Come on. They're always just having seminars and conferences and talking about this and that and the next thing. And what does this mean? And what does that mean? And what does the other thing mean? And one guy saying one thing, and another guy saying another thing, and they can't even agree on what they're saying. And usually, mostly what it promotes is in the body of Christ, if you get sucked into that stuff, is fear. And I want to tell you, God's not in the fear producing business. He's in the faith building business. Anything that produces fear in you, I tell you, I remember Sarah saying that, because we read all these videos of this particular prophecy teacher, and Sarah said all it did for her was put fear in her. Someone who'd already given her tender little heart to Jesus, who believed that God loved her. Come on. And all she said that did with me was produce fear in me. That's not God. That's not God. We're not here expecting Jesus to show up any second. We've got a job to do first.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. We might not know exactly when the job's done, but I know we're still pretty far away from it being completed. So we don't want to be sidetracked. The enemy wants to sidetrack you. He wants to move you away from what's really important, from what your true identity and what your true identity releases you into, and the responsibility that it places upon you. When you know who you are, you know what you're supposed to be involved in. You know who you're supposed to be. Hallelujah. See, the good news, guys, is that God is not interested in our past. That's why he shredded it. You know why? Because you only shred the things that you have no longer any use for. You only shred the things that you no longer have to refer to. Because once it's shredded, folks, it's shredded. God's not interested in their past, and that's why he shredded it, because there's nothing worthwhile, nothing of value in it, nothing he can do with it. It's our future that he has plans for. Our present and our future. Hallelujah. See, your future begins today, not tomorrow. Your future doesn't begin tomorrow, it begins today. Hallelujah. What you do today will determine what you are involved in tomorrow. Religion has you looking to the past or looking to the future. But you don't have a future until you're dealing with today. Because there's only one day that God speaks to you. Oh, well, I believe God's going to speak to me tomorrow. No, he speaks to you in one day. Today. Today. Today if you hear his voice. Today if you hear his voice. Today if you hear his voice. Some people are ignoring his voice and listening for his trumpet. They're so focused on this trumpet that they're not listening to his voice today. His voice is the trumpet.
Amen.
Come on. That shofar, so good, only represents his voice. And it demands a response. Every time that shofar blows, it demands a response from the people of God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what you say. It's a symbol. But we don't focus on the symbol. We listen for the voice. Hallelujah. Sidetracked. Identity theft. Sucking you back into something that's no longer got any place in your life. Hallelujah. Come on. It wasn't long before the good guys weren't allowed in the temple anymore. Come on. Like Jesus said, that thing's coming down, and come down it did. Why? Because he said it was coming down. And it's never been rebuilt, and I want to tell you, it won't be either. Not by the good guys. Because it's over. Its days are over. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you don't, you don't know your identity. That's individually and corporately. According to this new covenant. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11, verse 11 in the New Living Translation says this. I think it's in the NIV, sorry. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, the old covenant people, they just couldn't quite get it. But see, God's faithful, and he will fulfill all of his covenant promises to them. And he's still doing it. If you want proof that God exists, just look at that little postage stamp nation of Israel and see how, who are surrounded by hostile enemies who are sworn to their destruction. And God's old covenant promises are remaining steadfast towards them. But you see, he's got something bigger than that now. If you'll excuse me saying so. It's called the New Covenant Church of his Son, Jesus Christ, that through whom he displays his power and his glory. In much bigger ways. In much more spectacular ways. In much more far-reaching, world-changing, transforming ways. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you now. These words are being spoken to the church. He's still fulfilling these things in Israel. If you want to, come on. All a Jew has to do is go into business. He'll succeed. He believes that. He still believes to some extent what God has said over him. But that's old covenant. He said, Jesus said the new covenant is established on better promises. Better. Say better. Better promises. He has plans to give you hope and a future. Hope for today that will establish your future. Hope today, they are plans, it says in the New Living Translation, for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. We don't ever have to be spiritually and emotionally strong in our own strength. Because Jesus said that we have the kingdom of God in us. Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is righteousness. And peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 40 verse 31. This is my personal scripture. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's just for me, but I've claimed it. Definitely, personally, in my life. Hallelujah. God's come through for me so many times on the basis of this. Isaiah chapter 40. Hallelujah. In verse 29 it says, he gives power to the weak. Who does? He gives. That's why the weak can say, I am strong. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait, those who hope in the Lord, those who wait expectantly for the Lord, Come on. In fact, the Hebrew word actually means those who are bound together, those who are joined with him and become one spirit with him. Those who know that that's their identity is in him. They renew their strength. Come on. They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and they don't get weary. They walk and they don't faint. There's new hope. There's new strength. There's new life. New hope. Renewed hope. Renewed strength. Renewed life. This is covenant talk. This is covenant language. Waiting for the Lord's not the same as waiting for a bus that might not turn up. What God has said is what God will do every time. Not just some of the time, but every time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says this, "My grace is sufficient for you." Remember, Paul's been having a tough time. Everywhere he's gone, God's told him, "I've got good news for you to share with everybody, Paul. I'm sending you out to the Gentiles now to share with them the good news of my kingdom." Hallelujah. Well, you know, it's when you're carrying a message like that, you think you're going to, you know, be well received, you would imagine, wouldn't you? But everywhere he goes, there's a riot. Everywhere he goes, he's treated despicably. He's whipped, he's chained, he's thrown into prison, he's driven out of town. One time they stoned him, one time he was even dead, it would appear. God had raised him up again. And eventually he comes before the Lord and says, "Hey, come on." You can imagine, come on, let's get real, folks. He's like, "Come on, what's this all about? It's not fair. Give us a break." Just three times I asked him, you know, "Shift this devil in my way." And this is what the answer he got. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." The Greek word there for grace, charis, means unmerited favor. It means divine influence. It means God's ability. My ability. My influence. My favor. Is sufficient. The Greek word for sufficient, archaeo, means eliminating a barrier.
Wow.
Come on! It means sufficient. It means exactly enough. Eliminating a barrier. My grace, my power in you, Paul, will move this. In you. Stop asking me to come down and do it, because I've put the power in you. How much has religion twisted that? How much has tradition twisted that? Oh, well, you know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. There's nothing in you that is going to let that thorn remain. If you've got a thorn in your flesh, it's a very, 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 very painful experience. Even just a tiny little thorn, you don't rest until you get that thing out. Come on, you're not content to live for the rest of your life with that thorn. Come on, tell me you're not. A wee splinter, a wee tiny splinter in your finger can be very, very painful, very, very debilitating, and you don't rest. You might dig away with a needle for 4 hours to get that thing out. You'll be applying poultices and everything you can think of to try and shift that blackguard, because you're not going to content to live with that. And God doesn't want you living with any thought. He said, "My power, my grace will eliminate the barrier. My grace is sufficient for my power." There's the Greek word dunamis. It means explosive, miraculous power. If that can't remove the barrier, I don't know what can. It's made perfect. The Greek word is teletai. It means completely fulfilled. In weakness. The Greek word means disease, infirmity, brokenness. If there's disease or infirmity or brokenness afflicting your life, you need to understand he's deposited his grace, his ability, his power, his strength on the inside of you that will eliminate. Say eliminate. That means remove it completely away. Through his explosive, miraculous power being completely fulfilled in your life. See, I am strong. God wasn't telling Paul he had to be strong. Paul, you have to be strong. He was telling him he could depend on God's strength to come through for him. The power that worked on the inside of him. That's what he said to the Ephesians. The God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all, according to the power that works in us. Come on. To him be glory. We're in the church. God's to be glorified in the church. When the church begins to move and allow that grace, that unmerited favor, that divine influence, God's ability, God's strength, God's power to eliminate every barrier through his explosive, miraculous power. Wow. Hallelujah. Come on, removing all disease and infirmity and brokenness. Hallelujah. God's unmerited favor and divine influence is always sufficient to meet our every need. His explosive, miraculous power will completely fulfill whatever you need in whatever circumstance you are facing. We don't ever say, I have to be strong. We stand up on the inside and we say, I am strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You'll never have to draw on your own resources of weakness and limited strength. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I'm strong because I'm in covenant with the Lord. And his mighty power is more than sufficient to overturn every attack of the enemy. That enemy that's been stripped of his power. His power to intimidate has been removed for those who know that they've been given authority over him. Let's stand up. That enemy's been up to identity theft for too many years, for too long. Been getting away with it. Trying to get some information off documents that have been shredded. Hallelujah. Pretending he's got something on you. Come on. This is the truth. We need to get a hold of what this word says. Because I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have. Let's just say it together. I am strong. Don't ever, ever, ever allow yourself or anybody else to put these words in your mouth or to apply these words to your life. You have to be strong. You don't have to be strong. You are strong. You are strong because he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Get the message tonight? Are you convinced? Are you persuaded? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you that you are strong. You are strong. Wake up tomorrow morning and say, I am strong. Last words before you go to sleep tonight, say, I am strong. I am strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.